Brekkie, it's a cup from your local feature this week. It comes from Airline Foods, The Deal. It's the opener of the record. It's called OK, Let's Go, which seems to have become almost a bit of a sort of siren song for the album, for the band. It's something that they have said before. They've sort of coined as a saying between them. And it's really exciting this morning to be able to get stuck into the record a little bit more. It's a kind of deadly serious but slightly unhinged record. It's something that Matt Parrott said about it, and I'd have to agree. It's really shimmery and it's really gorgeous. It's retro flavoured, leaning into the best bits of 60s and 70s, 80s pop music, but retooling for this kind of high def package of really vintage indie funk. A really exciting record, and I'm not going to tell you any more about it because we've got somebody here that is going to be able to tell you with a little bit more authority than I can. Here to talk a little bit more about the record is Airline Foods' Connor. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Cam. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah, like, you know, popping along, moving along. You've put the album out into the world. How's it feeling now that it's out there? You put it out on Monday.
Yeah, Monday, start of the week. I think Matt said it was an unconventional day to do it, but we don't do things conventionally around here.
Yep, we don't like it. We don't need it to be conventional.
Yeah, the mold.
It's really satisfying to have an album come out on a Monday. It feels like as everyone else is getting to dive into the record, we're also getting to be a part of it. So it feels kind of nice, kind of timely, which is really special. But it's been nearly 10 years together for a band, right?
Yeah, I think it's 8 years. So
8 years.
Yeah, we started in year 12, or just like the holidays before year 12 started.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing a show because Jack Sear and Jack Anear's other band at the time pulled out.
Yeah.
So we just slotted in and we were like, oh, we better get a band name, we better get a bass player.
Yeah.
That's where Tom came in and we've just been playing ever since.
Yeah, you've done my job for me. You've mentioned all of the members of the band and they're not joining us this morning, but I'm so glad to have you here. And hilarious to learn that it was a band that you formed in high school.
Mm.
You did mention coming up with a name and I think that lends itself to, I want to ask about the album name too, but the name Airline Food, it was explained to me because I'm not a Seinfeld person.
Right,
it's a Seinfeld reference.
Yes.
And the name of the album is too. It's kind of an extension of that. Can you explain where the name of the album kind of comes from?
Yeah. So, yeah, if people are familiar with Seinfeld, it's like there's a classic line, like, what's the deal with Seinfeld? Oh, sorry, what's the deal with airline food? I've gotten wrong already. But, what's the deal with airline food, which was never actually said in the show.
Okay.
But it's become one of those, like, Mandela effect sort of things where Jerry Seinfeld does his situational comedy where he's like, oh, what's the deal with that? What's the deal with that? So Yeah, so that's where that's come from. And then the album name, The Deal, obviously is just playing into that reference a little bit more, but also has a double meaning of, like, people have been asking us, you know, when's your album coming out? What's the deal with all of that? So that's finally it. Like, this is the deal. The album is out.
It's out. That's kind of nice. I love that symmetry, especially for what feels unexpectedly like your debut. This is your debut record. There's been EPs and singles out in the past, but this is the first proper full-length release that the band has been able to put out. And before we get stuck into the record, do you think Jerry Seinfeld would like airline food?
I don't know. I really don't. I feel like he's a bit of a cynical human being these days. So
I don't really understand him. He's not the comic for me, but I appreciate people's love for him. And I feel like there definitely is. Oh, we've had a text into the studio. What is the deal with Seinfeld is the question. And look, I'm going to have to reflect that. It's a really gorgeous little continuation of the bit, and I kind of love that. This band does feel like it leans into the comedy and leans into the silly and the kind of unhinged, but it's reflective and meditative too. The sound and the instrumentation across the record is really almost joyful and uplifting. It's really shimmery. It's kind of all those best bits of funk from 60s and 70s and 80s, and it feels beautiful. But those lyrics can be a little more somber, a little more meditative, maybe, you know, even leaning into an existential crisis or two. Why do you think there's an attraction to these kind of sounds, to these shimmery, gorgeous sort of sounds, then pairing them with these kind of not silly lyrics?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the time the lyrics are always the last thing that we sort of add to a song. So we'll have a you know, a strong instrumental that we've sort of fleshed out a lot over time, even over years at times. And then almost 90% of the time, the lyrics are the last thing that we do. So I don't think it's really an intentional thing or like something that we're aware of, but more just, okay, we've got the instrumental now, what are we actually going to talk about or sing about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's usually either one person has the lyrics or it's like a collaborative effort in the end. But, yeah, it kind of works with the juxtaposition. Sometimes if there's a serious topic, it's nice to just, like, pad it out with some nice shimmery synths or, you know, like a triumphant guitar solo or something like that. So, yeah, just sort of balancing everything.
Yeah. Who writes the lyrics for the band? Do you all share those kind of duties, or is it Jack Anea, who's usually on vocals for the band? Does he write the lyrics for the band?
Yeah, he does write a lot of the lyrics, I feel, or he will bring an idea and then we'll sort of workshop it together or just sort of, yeah. But a lot of the songs on this album were a lot more collaborative, which I like, because then you go, oh, yeah, I know that I sort of threw that idea out there and it landed on the album. And it's just sort of a nice encompassing thing, and we all know that we've come together and done it together.
I feel like you are all in different projects. The people that we're talking about this morning, Jack Sia, Tom Sia, Jack Anea, and of course you, Connor Levy, you're all across different projects. But this project in particular, I guess having started in high school too, it does feel truly collaborative. Like you're saying, it feels like there isn't one ownership of the band, which I feel like you can usually see in different projects. You see that there's someone who takes the lead and is kind of bringing everything together. But this feels like a true testament of friendship over all this time, that you're still together and you still enjoy making music together. It's really obvious across your socials, across the way that you put out the collateral for this record. But I want to stay in the kind of instrumentation zone. We're talking about it being uplifting, about it being joyful. There's also this silly part of it, and I think that comes through with some of the samples that you use on the record.
Yes.
There's definitely a presence of them across this album.
There's a few.
I want to particularly ask about the Conditional Love sample. It starts out a little particularly. I'm going to play it so that we can hear how it starts, and then I want to know where it came from.
Welcome to the morning show on Gate on Rise Radio. I'm your host, DVD.
Hey, it's Malvin here. Big fan of the show, Stevie. I'd love to hear the new Alias Hot Food song, please. Have a good day.
That's the start of Conditional Love. I'm going to let it hang out underneath us, but where's that from? What is that?
I mean, I guess it's technically not a sample, that one. That was just Jack Sear and I.
You did it yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually recorded a lot of the album down south in Eagle Bay at Jack and Ear's holiday house, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we had just been up for a long time, and I think it was like 4 a.m. at that point, and everyone had gone to bed, but Jack Sear and I were still up kicking. And we sort of, I thought of a lot of albums that use like sort of a radio sample.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be funny if we just recorded our own. So I do the part at the start, the radio voice.
Yeah.
And then Jack is the guy calling in Malvin. And then we just sort of threw that together. And I remember just like listening back to it after we did it and then just like killing ourselves laughing. And we were so excited to show Jack and Ear the next morning.
It's come together in a nice way. And this song, you know, despite starting really silly, does have some pretty reflective lyrics on it. Even, you know, moments, you know, Jack and Ear saying, "All I want is feeling to know just what it's like," which is not really where you think this is going to go with a silly sample of a song like that. But I love the balance across the record, and it does feel like you achieve this by kind of striking that difference between silly and really, you know, somber and meditative and considerate. She's really special. There's some samples across the rest of the record, in particular, Tim Heidecker featuring on this record too. Yep. Where can we find him? Well, I didn't know that. It was pointed out to me. But why Tim Heidecker on the record? A comedian?
He's a comedian that we really like resonate with. I feel like in our opinions, he's one of the funniest people around. Again, I don't know why it ended up being on there, but that's from a 1 hour long special that he put out on YouTube for free.
Okay.
And I mean, we just found it funny, and Jack Sear just thought, why don't I just chuck this in at the start? I think we were just struggling for lyrics for that song. We didn't know what to put in there. And
what song can people hear it in for folks?
Oh, in Daydreamer. Yeah, the last track on the album, so.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Also the oldest demo, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'd been playing that one for a while live, but again, like, hadn't quite finished it.
How far back do the recordings go? How long have you been working on this record?
I guess since the beginning.
Since the beginning?
Daydreamer maybe was like, I'm not sure, I want to say 2018 or 2019.
Okay.
But a few of the tracks have just started to work their way into our live set. And we like to road test them a bit. And if people like them, then we're like, okay, that'll be worth recording and, putting into an album. And, but it's quite a few years of demos and writing that have amalgamated into the deal now. Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's have a listen to The Daydreamer, and we'll come back with Connor Levy and hear a little bit more about the deal and Airline Food in a tick. You're hearing Daydreamer from Airline Foods, The Deal. It's your local feature this week, and we're catching up with Connor Levy to learn a little bit more about this record. Playing keyboard and synth in the band, but it's kind of a friendship effort. You're all kind of, got an equal amount of involvement in the pie. That's a terrible analogy.
We're all ingredients in the pie.
Yeah, you're all important ingredients. We've been talking about the record and talking a little bit about the themes that kind of appear on this record. And I am curious about the sounds of it too. It's really shimmery, it's really gorgeous, and it definitely leans into what feels like an ode to 60s and 70s, 80s sort of funk and like almost disco-y music sometimes, which is really beautiful. Yeah. But the production is really slick. Like the album sounds really beautiful. Who produced it? What were the priorities going into the sounds of the record?
Yeah, so largely produced by Jack Sear.
So keeping it in the family.
Yeah, totally. he's a whiz. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, it's like almost half the fun for him and us, I guess. Like just really deep diving into all the sounds. And for me at times, like I'm sort of not as much of a perfectionist, where if I do something, I'm like, eh, that's close enough, it's good enough. But it's good to have someone like Jack to just be like, no, like, we can do this better, or like, this can be more than what it is right now. So, grateful to have his musical ear and his input on all of it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Saves us a bit of money too.
In terms of the priorities about how it sounded, was that high def kind of like really slick, really sharp sound part of the sort of priority going into the record, or going into the producing of it at least? Were there any major priorities for the sounds of this record?
Not too sure, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in the past we've done a lot of sort of more leaning towards the lo-fi sound, so
yeah.
I guess with the album it was more like, this is our moment to like really put ourselves on the map and, you know, debut album, so let's just make it like high production. Let's just, put our all into it and make it sound nice and clean.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I feel like it might be asking you to play or choose a favourite child by asking you this, but do you have a favourite song on the album, or do you have a favourite that you think is maybe a bit of an underdog on the record?
Yeah, well, California AI is, is sounding, it's one of those tracks that I really like. It's quite fun, and there's a vocoder on there as well, because sort of the idea behind that was, what if there was an AI robot that sort of gained sentience and wanted to become a rock star,
right?
But in the 70s in LA.
What a narrative.
Yeah, so it's quite a strong imagery there, which is why we called it California AI.
Right.
A little pun there.
Yeah, a little pun.
Yeah.
Little pun. That's very Seinfeld of you.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. So that was fun.
That's fun. What's a vocoder?
A vocoder is like you can play it through a synthesizer and with a microphone, so it makes it sound like a robotic sound.
Oh.
Yeah. So
okay.
Sort of like auto-tune, but it's more like, synth vocal.
Okay, yeah. So this is Jack and Ear as a 70s robot.
Yeah.
In California.
Yeah. Longing for... longing for fame.
Longing for fame?
Yeah.
It sounds really fun.
Yeah, no, it was great.
A Jack and Ear does sound weird on it. It's a little robot-y, but it's still kind of sentient and human. So great balancing.
Yeah, and there was also a normal vocal take on there too.
Okay, cool. And you like mesh them together?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So when we do that live, there's two microphones.
Oh.
One of them's running into his synthesizer, which runs to my keyboard. So I play the melody while he sings it into the vocoder and sings it into a normal mic, so we have a bit of both.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's really lovely to see, because I'm not a musician and I love to appreciate, but I have no idea. I'd just be like, why has Jack got two mics? That's weird. But now when I see you, I'll be able to understand.
Yeah.
I'll be able to know what's going on. That's gorgeous. We love to hear it. It's a really, really lovely time diving into all the specifics of this record. And we have said a little bit about how it's taken a long time to get here. Now, in the research for this interview, one of our producers and somebody that helps out on the radio production side found that you've said in the past, maybe not you, but someone in Airline Food said that a career highlight was having a radio interview, which is really special and really gorgeous. But I want to know, 8 years in, what's been the highlight? What's the most exciting thing so far?
Ooh.
Is it getting the album out into the world? Is there a silly moment in particular that's, you know, really sticks out in your memory that casts the understanding of airline food?
Right.
I'm really putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think Wave Rock, playing Wave Rock was a really big one for us. Mm. That was in 2020 during COVID, and it was almost one of the only festivals in the world happening at the time. Mm. And it was an all WA lineup, so that was quite special for us.
Yeah.
Especially, I think we played Saturday, 10 a.m, first cab off the ranks on the weekend. And yeah, that was a big moment for us. It felt quite special to be a part of that.
That's pretty pretty special, pretty gorgeous. You're launching the record on July 26th. It's happening this weekend, right?
This Friday night.
You're launching at the Bird with Clove, Linden Blue and Paint. Any special surprises happening on the night? We're going to see the two mics. That's going to be happening. Yep, I know about that.
There will be one small surprise, I think.
Okay, cute.
But you have to be there to find out.
Yeah. Okay, that's a classic. Yeah, you can't be ruining it on the radio. Yeah. That's terrible. Before you go today, there's one more song I want to ask you about, and that's Wall Street Man. Mm. This kind of 80s machismo thing going on. It's really silly and outlandish. It almost feels kind of, I don't know, pointed and scary, but kind of like silly too. It's a really great song. And there's a quite silly music video to go along with this song.
Yes.
Can you tell me about what's prompting this? Why have you written a song called Wall Street Man? What's going on here?
I guess it's kind of a bit of a jab or a take on on the finance world or just the corporate life. Obviously being very not aligned with our career aspects of music.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be funny to just write an ode to the Wall Street Man.
So you wrote an ode.
You would say
you've penned an ode to the Wall Street Man.
Yeah. but also a bit of a piss take, I guess.
Yeah.
But, talk about cryptocurrency and the blockchain and all those buzzwords.
All the buzzwords.
Yeah.
You've got them all in there. And you recorded a music video for this, actually, like, in the city.
Yes.
Here in P-City.
In P-Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun, too. We just sort of didn't have much of a plan, dressed up in suits, bought the strongest wet-look gel we could find. gelled our hair up in the middle of Forest Chase with people looking at us oddly. We also got kicked out of Central Park by security.
Hilarious.
Telling us we couldn't film there. And even got in a prominent Perth TikToker's video in the background. So, yeah, we really hit
really
the town.
Did the most.
And, yeah.
Now, can people see this video? It's out now, right?
Yeah, it's out now. Yeah. It's on our Instagram page, but also on YouTube if you are like the classic, you know, going on YouTube as opposed to just the doom scroll on Instagram.
I mean, I feel like the Wall Street Man would be a fan of YouTube. He probably wouldn't be a doom scroller.
No, that's not productive at all.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not time maximising.
Absolutely not.
No, I can't be doing that. Connor Levy, thanks so much for coming into
Recce. Thanks for having me, Pam.
Well, it's always great to have you and always great to learn a little bit more about the local feature. We're going to go out with Wall Street Man, but you can catch Airline Food at the Bird this Friday.